Smog has been linked to a host of health problems. It can inflame the throat, cause shortness of breath and coughing. It can also lead to premature death. The Canadian government estimates 2,000 people in the province of Ontario die prematurely from smog exposure each year. And both the U.S. and Canada agree about 50% of that smog-causing pollution is coming from the American Midwest. Steve Hart is the director of the Transboundary Air Issues Branch for Environment Canada. He says nitrogen oxides travel in a plume from Midwestern power plants and cities and settle over Ontario. Hart says the chemicals interact with ozone, volatile organic compounds, and sunlight to create a major smog problem.
We're very, very interested that our U.S. counterparts control their pollution. That doesn't mean to say we don't do our own job here, because there is some of our pollution that goes south of the border into New York State.
Hart says both countries have plans to reduce nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compound emissions. They're meeting this week in Washington, D.C., and they hope to create an ozone annex, which will become part of the U.S.-Canada Air Quality Agreement. But some Americans are concerned that even if a deal is hammered out, Canada won't be able to enforce it. In the U.S., the Clean Air Act sets mandatory federal air quality standards, and if the states don't enforce those standards, the federal government can step in. But that's not the way things work in Canada. Here, pollution laws are mainly controlled by the provinces, not the Canadian government. The federal government can unilaterally create new regulations, but in the 10 years since Canada passed its Environmental Protection Act, that's never happened. Hart says that's because Canadians prefer to rule by consensus.
The two governments have a different style, a different approach to things. In Canada, we tend to be less litigious. We tend to do more by commitments which are measurable. But we've usually had as good or better results in the U.S.
But that may not be enough for the American negotiators. John Bachman is the Associate Director for Science Policy in the EPA's Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards. He says they're looking for a commitment from the Canadians that they'll give their national agreement some teeth.
The U.S. is absolutely looking very hard at what the Canadians put forth to make sure that there at least looks like there's movement towards something that is a lot like what we have in effect.
But the Canadians argue their voluntary agreement will be more effective at reducing pollution than the American laws. That's because the Canadians have agreed to an ozone limit about 20% lower than what the American Clean Air Act allows. But those Canadian promises aren't written into law, and that makes John Paul uncomfortable. He's the vice president for the Center for Energy and Economic Development. His group represents coal producers, railroads, and utilities, industries that could be affected by this deal. And he says those industries want a fair agreement.
We want to make sure that whatever we are agreeing to do, that the Canadians agree to a commensurate reduction and that there be some mechanism assured that they can enforce it.
Observers to the negotiations say these concerns have been raised. Patricio Silva of the Natural Resources Defense Council has sat in on many of the meetings between the two countries, and he's confident they'll uphold their end of the deal.
We believe that, in large part, both nations will be able to honor nearly all of these substantive commitments and achieve the reductions that they've outlined.
American negotiator John Bachman says he'll push the Canadians to put their pollution agreement into law. But Canadian Representative Steve Hart argues that's not only unnecessary, it's not the Canadian way. That's an issue that will undoubtedly be on the table when the two sides meet this week. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Karen Kelly in Ottawa, Ontario.